Oh, wonderful. That was Ray Shorter on tenor sax with Herbie Hancock on piano, Reggie Workman on bass, and Joe Chambers on drums with this nifty little number called Footprints. It's from Shorter's, it's Shorter's own composition, by the way. And it's from his 1967 album, Adam's Apple. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off with each other just last week. Well, I had a lot of stuff I was going to talk about today, and then it dawned on me that it didn't make sense. These things happen. You put a lot of thought into your presentation, and then suddenly you go, but this isn't making sense. So you can always fix it. And today we're going to do just that. I'm going to ask you to guide us through the time that we are in right now. What is it? How do you characterize the time we are in right now? The way things are going, we are 6 weeks away from the great election. We have insanity is the order of the day. Everybody seems to be going a bit insane. And the harder you look for logic, common sense, somebody should be sending a signal, somebody. And it should come from the president, but the president is the one of the greatest offenders in this whole thing. People are behaving just it should be an episode of the Twilight Zone where something happens in the air. The air becomes so agitated and everybody kind of loses their minds. And they no longer see the need to be tied to logic or common sense. They're just going crazy. And even they don't know where they're going, but they're just moving around in an agitated state and trying to convince us that they have a handle on things. And all we have to do is be a little bit more patient. Hang in there with them because they know where they're going, and it will all turn out well in the end. I'm sorry, but I gave up on that enterprise a long time ago. I used to think it was me. I used to think maybe my brain is working differently from the rest, and maybe it is I who am out of sorts. But no, I took a deep look at it. No, I'm okay. This world is going crazy and is doing everything possible to have me accompany them in their craziness. And I just can't do it. So let's tackle this thing methodically. We could start with what, if I were to ask you to give a brief overview of where we are right now, what's the state of affairs in America? What is going on? Are you worried about what you're seeing and hearing and reading? Does it bother you that We don't seem to have a firm grounding on anything. We just going through some kind of paces, but what kind of paces, even we don't know. But the world is getting crazier and crazier, and we are expected to be calm about it. Just calm down and you'll see the logic of it. All right. So maybe it's me. Maybe it really is me. I'm not kidding. Maybe I am so out of whack. I'm so out of tune with what is happening. I can't wrap my brain around the situation that we're in as a nation, and in so many ways, on so many fronts, everything is out of order. It's just chaotic. There's no logic to how we are living. And it's getting worse. That's just me. That's just how I see it. And I wonder whether I'm the only one out here. I could be the only one, you know. This is what happens when you start going insane. You know, you tend to be lonely because you're the only one seeing what's going on. But it sure would be good to have some company. I would really like to know what you are thinking about the state of affairs right now in this country. And where is it leading to? What is it going to give us with the way things are going? What should we brace ourselves for? What should we expect? Let's start with that. We know that, of course, Associate Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died on Friday. And the president and his minions can't wait. They're not even waiting to have a funeral for her. They're out of the door. They've started already. Good. She is dead and gone. Let's get somebody else in there that we control totally and will do exactly what we want them to do. It's like, you know, Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. You didn't expect, I mean, for me, I'm talking about me, I would never have expected that people at the highest levels of government would behave this way. You have no class. You're behaving like a bunch of thugs meeting in the cellar someplace to cook up some criminal ideas and plans. And you can feel the descent into insanity, as I have been feeling it for quite a while. This country is not operating right. This isn't logic. This isn't even good thinking. And yet they're so comfortable with it, and so many people are in lockstep with what is happening, even though they don't quite know what is happening. It's a kind of madness. And I've learned to just say, well, I'm not going to moan about it. I'm not going to talk about it. Because the more I talk about it, the more it occurs to me, I am not in a position to do anything about it. We are finally reaching the point where we have to admit whatever it is that these people who are now in control, who are in the shadows controlling things, whatever it is that they are doing and will want to do, there isn't very much we can do about it. Except talk about it. And we can talk about it at 888-874-4888. We should talk about it because this is not normal. This is not the way a country is run, and especially this country, given the history of this country. Where we are is a very scary place right now. And it is not going to improve anytime soon. I can tell you that. All right, so we'll start there today and build up to it in the course of the week, because it had me so worried. Where is this country going? What do they intend? What is the plan? Anybody come up with a plan and tell me what it is, because it's better than what I feel right now. I feel like nobody knows what they're doing, except we are all going to hell at 1,000 miles an hour. And we're convincing ourselves that we're on the right track. We're doing the right thing. Insane. Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Good afternoon.
I know it's not Free Your Mind Friday, but I hope you will indulge me if I circle back to a previous topic of only a couple days ago, because I think it's extremely important, and that would be the Breonna Taylor situation. And I believe your comments were 100% right on, that the choices that we make in life are extremely important to outcomes. The choices we make are will decide the destination, as if we're traveling down a highway of life, and there are a million decisions along the way. Some are minor, this lane or that lane, this exit or that exit. But if you make choices, if you make an extremely bad turn, or you go the opposite way, you're trying to go south, but you head north, then you're not going to end up in the south where you want to go. And I believe that, you know, who we associate with is extremely important, especially if there's a child involved. Now, I don't know if the current boyfriend was the father of the child, which if he was the father of the child, I certainly understand trying to maintain some relationship. But the old saying that when you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas is indicative of the people you associate. You take on their illnesses, their maladies, and drug dealers, whether they were looking for the right drug dealer or not, if you associate with drug dealers get shot. Drug dealers get robbed. Drug dealers, that's not a positive to be around, whether it's a romantic relationship or a friendship or whatever. That's something that I don't know if parents preach it like they used to back in my day, back in your day, that who you associate with and who you are friends with is extremely important to the kind of life you're going to have. And you have to pick your friends wisely, and you have to look at it that way. You have to decide that, are these people taking me where I want to go? Will they take me not where I want to go? And I know it's really important to you, because you close the Friday show always with the weekend. Surround yourself with positive people. And those that aren't positive, I'm paraphrasing now, run from them. You have to run from the negative people and surround yourself with the positive people. And that, there's no more important point that you've ever made that, you know, I know you were attacked a little bit for it, but I don't think you've ever made a more important point than that, that we have to choose our friends and associates wisely.
Well, there's a different, there's another aspect to it, which we haven't discussed. I understand that I upset some people with my view, but I wasn't talking from just a personal point of view. And this was one of the things I was hoping to communicate.
I understood.
I'm a journalist.
Where you were coming from.
So I see things analytically, very differently, even as a journalist. The story has had one angle so far, and the angle is these no-knock warrants that ended up in the death of Breonna Taylor. But I see a whole bunch of other stories.
Yes.
And it's because this is the way I've been as a journalist. I even taught journalism that way. You can't just see one dimension to it. The story that I saw in this whole awful scheme of things is what is happening in our community. When you add up all the decisions that people are making that sometimes even make them forfeit their lives, are we thinking? Are we really thinking about what we're doing? And we have to come to terms with that part of the story, that we do have a lot of pathology in our community that is ends up being self-directed and self-destructive. That's the story I wanted to communicate, that we have. Here's a young woman who recently demonstrated that she has the talent and the skills and the ambition to do better in life. But somehow, it doesn't happen. And worse, she dies violently. Because in the world in which she began to function and began to be comfortable, rather than proceed with her plan, which was, in my view, it was working. It was beginning to work. She had a good job. She accomplished, you know, a course of training. She could have gone on at another level and done even more. But she chose to bring into her life a force that was absolutely detrimental to her and to her child. And I was struck by that. I was struck by the fact that what needless self-destruction, and why can't we see? Why aren't we talking about this? Women ought to be talking about this. That this way of living will bring you in the end more harm than good. And we have to do something about, if you have the ambition to do better and you're demonstrating that you're achieving, you're on the right track, why would you just turn at the worst possible moment when you are achieving and you turn back into a way of life that could be, I'm not saying it is detrimental, but it could very well be detrimental to you. Why aren't we thinking? And look at the damage done. And it's permanent. And it's so unnecessary. And that's what I was trying to communicate. In any story, the media tells one story, and that's the story, as far as they're concerned. So everybody repeats what the media says is a story.
Right.
And they don't see there are 15, 20, 30 other stories related to the so-called story. But nobody talks about that. And yet these are very, very important stories to tell as well. Very important.
Absolutely.
So at some point, maybe with the passage of time, people will get to understand what it is I was trying to communicate. Maybe I did not do a very good job of communicating it.
I think you did an excellent job.
Well, thank you.
Excellent job.
I tried.
Of communicating it. If some people don't get it, some people don't get it. But I think you did an excellent job. I think it's something that women need to be talking about. I think it's something that men need to be talking about.
True.
And one more point on that situation, just my personal opinion. I believe that we as a people, black people, need to stop taking these money settlements. As long as you take those money settlements, you'll never get justice. It's a payoff. It's take this money and don't bother
and get
us
lost.
And don't riot and don't cause a problem. We've got to stop taking the money. I know if this is something that happened to one of my children, no amount of money am I going to take. You're going to give me justice or not, but I'm not taking any money. We've got to stop taking the money.
Well, thank you for getting us started today, quite soberly. And you brought me right back to the subject that I was trying to run away from after I see that I upset so many people. But all I was trying to say is I'm accustomed, no matter what the story is, I'm accustomed to trying to figure out how many parts does this story have? The parts we are seeing and the parts we are not seeing. And what are those parts? And why are we not reporting certain things?
Right.
Of the story. Thanks for getting us started again, Bill, today. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Utrecht?
Okay, how are you, Ed?
Well, me and my songs, we're still here.
You're hanging in by your thumbs. I love the visual of it.
Yeah, I'm a big guy, so it is quite striking.
Very interesting visual.
Let me assure you, you are not alone.
Tell us something. Give us some pointers as to what is going on. What should we be thinking? What is happening in this country at this point?
Well, from my humble perspective, let me first assure you that you are not alone in feeling like you're crazy. Just to look at how things are playing out from the weather to politics to just life in general, there seems to be a prevailing sense of disorder, a sense of confusion. Personally, I believe we're at the end of empire. I think we're in the beginning of the end of America, as has been known for its odd 500 years of existence. I think we're dawning on a new age. There's a younger population that is dissatisfied with the status quo, and there is an older, less populous, but still in control population that wants to hang on to things as they were. And the conflict is growing and the tension is growing. And we're in the beginning of the end. I mean, things are going to be more localized. Initiatives are going to take place on a neighborhood level. I think there's going to be a resurgence in community. But there's going to be some chaos before we get there. To paraphrase Martin's book, there's got to be some chaos because things have to die before they can grow. Like I always say, everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to die. Things have to die. Seed has to die before it can grow. And they're growing things. And that's what we're going through. I mean, people are asking questions. Why are things are the way they are? Why are we in a pandemic and we can't get any medical care? Why are we in a state where we should be unifying and trying to help each other and we're at each other's throats? I mean, just this morning, you know, there was a homeless individual on the train who was basically screaming at the wall, and two guys wanted to fight the guy. And I got in the middle. I said, "What are you doing? You know, you see this man is sick. I mean, if you ain't going to help him, why are you going to confront him? You see he's sick. You see he doesn't know what he's talking about. Just I will leave him be or get off the train and go on another car." But that logic, that sense of humanity is leaving. And I just hope that these growing pains are quick and that they're not as tumultuous as I think they're going to be, and that we can get up to the light on the other side. But it's going to got to go through some darkness. Got to go through some orange skies until we get to the clear.
What did you get from the administration's, the president's and the administration's reaction to the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg as an associate justice? Did it bother you?
Well, to be personally, totally, I was sorry to see her go. I was hoping that she could hang on till this election was over. I know she was 87 and suffered a great deal from many different maladies due to age and time. So, but nothing this administration does surprise me. I thought they were going to take the opportunity to change the laws, because that's your third pillar of government. That's where the control lies. These Supreme Court justices have lifetime appointments. Even though some of them are quite up in age, they can live for 20, 30 years. And we are only a generation away from the changes that we had due to the civil rights struggle, due to voting rights struggle, due to women's rights struggle. We're only a generation away. And if we get too many of these justices, how the Senate and the Congress have thrown things to the courts because they don't want to do the legislative work that is necessary to make law and to affirm law that is just and correct, they throw everything to the courts. And these judges have become political animals, which they shouldn't be. Which is why
they
have a lifetime appointment.
But I thought it was just so tacky. So shameless. She dies, and the president of the United States, who should be setting an example or setting a tone, there's not even a 2-second pause. And he's on to, well, there's going to be somebody else in that seat, and it's business as usual. And I mean, just in that action alone, it seems to me that he erased that much more of the dignity this country used to have. When they say, well, we'll mourn properly the way we mourn the loss of an associate justice and give dignity to the situation. But it was amazing. And all of his confederates went along with it. Nobody objected. Nobody said this will not happen.
You can't expect any type of dignity, any type of grace from this individual and this administration. They are criminal. They are criminal. They are sycophantic, and they are self-serving, and they show it every time. They are the basis. They are the less of us. They are the bottom. They are what happens when standards fall below sea level. You know, they're at the bottom of the ocean, and that's where whale garbage is, at the bottom of the ocean. And that's where the guy belongs. He has no character, and the people around him have no backbone. So they follow suit to protect themselves. But that's what I'm saying. These are the lesser. These are the ones that love the status quo, that want things to be the same. And they're losing power, and they don't know how to deal with it. So they're grabbing at straws. They're grasping at old ideas and old scenarios to try and bring back something that should have died a long time ago. And like I said, we're going through the growing pains, and you just got to ride through it. You got to concentrate. I recommend everybody concentrate on your local politics. Concentrate on your local community. Try to control what you can control around you, and educate those around you so you can ride through it. Because nationally, it's off the rails, and there's nothing that's really.
I hear you, and it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. It was such a depressing way to act, causing, you know, people to think, is this the way the United States, is this the level? You as a president can't say, well, the nation will mourn and, you know, the funeral is on Thursday or Friday or Wednesday, whatever. And you acknowledge the contributions that she has made. You acknowledge the role she has played in keeping the society together through her wise judgment. But, I mean, you act like a dog.
He's a lowlife. You can't expect, and I'm not surprised, I'm not shocked. The man is a lowlife. His whole career, he has been towards the baser instincts. He only cares about people that are concerned with him or that have the last name of Trump. And even on that, I believe, honestly, that there's a hierarchy within his own family, with his daughter being on top and the rest being at the bottom, depending upon the climate of the day. The man, not only is he insane, he is pathetic. And I didn't expect any honor or any decorum from him.
So the nation, that it has not yet recognized that it ought to behave better. It ought to behave differently in the circumstance. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family.
Thank you.
I want to tie my answer to something that I have been meaning to say to the sister who a couple weeks ago was quite upset about a particular bus route. And I noticed that you had emphasized the importance of calm. And I want to say to her that through meditation / affirmation / prayer, that that is approach that if that particular bus route shuts down, that she will be shown another path. But as to your question today, and it ties into that first point I'm making, is one of the things that I don't hear enough about or at all is a type of contagion, I mean literal contagion, that happens when you have a leader where the mode of rage and anger is the default mode. So you'll find the most people who would not usually go in that direction. It's happening all around us. And one of the offshoots of this is those that are reacting to it. I notice that sometimes a type of exhaustion just washes over me. It's a physical exhaustion, but it has more to do with a mental and emotional exhaustion, because you see the country just going down the toilet bowl, as it were. Contagion.
Oh, yes.
Contagion.
And we are being encouraged to be indifferent not to be human, but to be indifferent.
Absolutely.
This nation couldn't pause as a nation to recognize her contribution. It didn't care. And it was with a great sense of self-satisfaction and pride that Trump and his minions, you know, they just said, well, sorry she died and all that, but business as usual. We have a seat to fill. And this is the level at which this entire, now you can cast that shadow across the entire administration. Not one person from this administration said, this is a time for the nation to express sorrow and to mourn. She did good work. And she ought to be honored. Not even a moment of silence, not nothing. And you're on to the next thing about how much money you're going to get to put in the coffers to get the next campaign off the ground. And what a reprehensible thing. And what upset me was you drag everybody into it. Everybody is now behaving just like you.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm saying, the type of contagion.
Yes. You're right, it's the word, the contagion. We're all behaving like a bunch of people who weren't raised right. You know, we have no class. Would it really have been so difficult to do? And you can't point to one person in your administration who steps forward and says something. Say something. That we mourn the loss of Associate Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the work that she had done all these years, and consistent with this quest for equal rights, equality, then, you know, say something. But this kind of did it for me. I don't know who would want to associate with people who behave like this as the president and leader of a country. Wow.
And Eugenie's, who used to have totally different views, so this beeline to force women to give birth and not leave that up to themselves and their health team. And he didn't even know what the talking points were. So he got caught saying, oh, yeah, we want to punish women because for the purposes of power alone, is he did a 180-degree turn, basically. And it just continues on, and it doesn't bode well for a nation. And there's no future vision. You have a mythology of some time that was so great that Steve Bannon actually cited the 30s, and no future vision when all these technologies, including artificial intelligence, the millions of jobs being lost through robotics, but no vision.
These people are not human. They're not human. And we ought to be louder about it. We ought to condemn it. Because in the end, they are reflecting by their behavior what the country feels. And the country doesn't feel that way. The country feels very differently. And to assume that you accurately reflect the sensibilities and the feelings of the country, you're way off line. You're way off the mark on this one.
Indeed.
It's very, very sad. And we are behaving just like he wants us to. Like, this is not a big deal. Everybody dies at some point. What's the problem? But I believe in karma. And he's got a big one coming. He's got something coming. Yeah, thanks a lot, Mark, for your call today. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
That's a million trees. I mean, there's so many topics that have been brought up today. I would like to really talk about all of them, but I'm going to get to your question instead. I think on another day I can talk about some of those things. As I see it, what's going on now is the ruling elite that run the country, the oligarchs, and the country is not run by the Congress or anything like that. They are going on the road that's taking the United States of America to the point where it's going to be like the United States of Bangladesh. They're more successful in doing what unbridled capitalism does, which enriches itself and at the expense of the workers who create the wealth, and it's on in high gear, you know, and it's doing that very successfully. That's what's going on today. And the other part of this that's important is to keep the population, the masses of people, ignorant. And they're doing a good job of doing that because they control all those instruments of information and so-called schooling or training, as I call education, that they're working well at that and have got people completely under control. And a good example of this is what I looked up, and I found out that you have many red states where the people are extremely poor, you know, places like Alabama, Mississippi, Oklahoma, New Mexico, places like that, West Virginia, where the people are poor and they're voting right along with Trump's ruling class. And I think especially of a place like Kentucky, where this Senator McConnell is from, and that's a red state, and that's one of the poorest states. So why are people going along in those states with the Trump group that is definitely trying to enrich the ruling class with the neoliberal policies that they have brought in, who gone along with the endless wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, places like Libya, and so forth. So, you know, all these things are against the interests of the people who are living in those poor states. So the ruling class is winning. I mean, they're really winning, and they're doing whatever they can to win some more, because the nature of capitalism is to make profit, period. And they're doing a fantastic job of it, and it's getting better and better for them, and while people in the masses are getting poorer and poorer. So that's essentially what's going on. And they got some people to the point where they're telling them that you just go and vote, and you know, that's what your job is, to go and vote, even though the Uniparty, the Republicans and Democrats, they pick the candidates, and all the candidates are in line with their policy of neoliberalism and doing the things that enrich the top of the pile, that small oligarchy that runs the country. So, you know, the people are in control. And I see no expectation that going to vote is going to really change that much. Whether you get Trump,
how do you read, David, the response with respect to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I'm just using that as an example. How do you read the Democratic Party's reaction to this rush to just get it over with and we'll get that seat filled?
Well, I think that is disgusting what Trump is saying about rushing to fill this seat and whatnot. And I don't know all the things that the Democrat Party is saying about this, but the point is, if there's some means to block Trump from pulling this off, that's wonderful. That's the way I look at it. And, I don't know if they can do this or not, being that the Republicans with McConnell from the poorest, one of the poorest states, controls the Senate. But I don't know if the Democrat Party, part of the Uniparty, can really change that around. But if things are going to get better, it's not going to come about by voting for Biden or Trump. You know, the people are going to have to do a lot more. They're going to have to get in the streets. They're going to have to be more rebellions if things are going to change for the masses of people living in the country. I don't see it any way. The voting is interesting. And even though the ruling elite is trying to cut down the number of people who vote by various means, and they're pretty good at that, I don't think that's the answer to what is going on today.
Thank you very much for your opinion. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved.
Hello, Willie.
Good afternoon, beloved.
Thank you.
How are you? You the question you asked about this nation, it's from what I see, if people are really paying attention, they would be getting sick, because it makes no sense, and it's driving most people crazy. But you, when you talked about the Justice Ginsburg, now the response from your president, I would expect that, because you did a program in June 1st, 2017. It's called Swamps and Sinkholes. Yeah, and you explained that. That's from June 1st, 2017. So I expect this. What we are not doing is listening and paying attention to what you said, what PRN and particularly you and Gary are saying. We have to pay more attention to what you guys are saying, because all of this, we have to just connect the dots, and we'll see this. It's nothing to get upset about or to be.
You can't help, because you're a human being and we're accustomed to operating at an entirely different level that reflects some kind of humanity. And if it comes to it, basic manners, basic training.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Eutrice. But you did a program on swamps and sinkholes. Maybe you need to listen to that program again.
Maybe I need to listen to my own program again.
No, I'm very serious, Eutrice. I listen to your program twice a day, and Gary's, and I send it to everybody in my contact. That's how important these PRN is in general. But anyway, listen, I would like to ask, this is my concern. An hour program, can we have 2 hours, mayhaps?
Well, actually, I don't know what kind of time, but I mean, a lot of people want to get on the air, to host programs. And that's always a challenge at a radio station. How do you allot the time? Even Gary can't get an extra hour. So we have to manage the time that we do have. And hopefully, if we get the kind of support from the public, from the community, we can add some more programming hours. But right now, it's a little bit tight, and everybody is working within a very tight schedule.
Okay.
Yeah. So thanks for calling, and your points are well taken today. Glenn from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, you, Therese.
Hello.
Hope all is well. I just wanted to say that I totally agree with you on your position with Breonna Taylor. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with my niece, 2 weeks ago on the same issue, where she had shady boyfriends in the past, where she just started as an engineer. And she's starting a life where she's just purchased a home for over like $600,000, but yet she had this I don't know what this compulsion to keep people or shady boyfriends in her life. And I sat her down and I said exactly what you said. You can't surround yourself with these kind of people, because they're going to at some point pull you down, or even, the type of characters that she dated, and I'm going to be honest, drug dealers or selling this or that, and I just wanted to let you know, I tried to get through 2 days ago or since Thursday to let you know, I totally understand what you're saying, and more of our community needs to really look at how we live our lives and understand having positive people around you makes all the difference.
It's very important. It really is important not to bring yourself into a situation where if anything should happen negative, any fallout, you are going to be enmeshed in it. But this is a story I still maintain. We have to have this conversation in our community, because I see a lot of really, really strong, positive women with good leadership skills and so forth, all of that other stuff. And then you look at the people in their lives and you go, what happened here? Your brain stopped working? You can't figure out that this is not a good thing for you? It's not going to work out well? I mean, you can't run somebody's life, but you can see where it's all leading. And we are not engaging in these discussions enough. And then something tragic happens, and there's no reversal of fortune in that sense. You're dead. And for the police, their lives keep going on. For people in your life who took advantage of you and your good heart or whatever it is that you offered, and then on to the next thing. And they leave you there, a shell of yourself, a mere shell of yourself. And this, I think, if we were to really statistically quantify it, I am willing to bet that we will discover that this is a huge factor, a major factor, than we want to admit in our community. It's a big factor. We have women attached to men and sometimes to women too, who mean them no good and contribute nothing to moving forward or encouraging them to just go ahead and conquer that next station in life. But we're not getting that.
I think that same conversation that we have to have with our young men, we should have with our young women.
Yes. Yes. Totally agree. We really have to do that. Thanks for your call. I have Bill. Bill, I hate to rush you, but you have only a little bit of time.
Yes, I appreciate the time, and I know it's very tight. So I'll be very brief, but yes, with the passing of Justice Ginsburg, it is indeed very sad, and I expected nothing less than Donald Trump's actions. I just completed doing the audio book version of the Bob Woodward book called Rage. It should be essential reading or listening. It's terrifying, and you see the depths of depravity of this man, and you see how he humiliated and literally ran very capable people like Tillerson and Coates and others who I don't necessarily agree with, but just humiliated them and ran them out of office. And so I expected nothing less from this person and the people around him. But thank you, and I'll catch up later in the week.
Okay, thank you. We should keep it in the minds of the public that he is mentally ill. He is off the chain. And I'm not the one saying that. We had psychiatrists, psychologists saying so formally that Donald Trump is in deep psychological trouble. That brings us to the end of our program today. Let's meet again tomorrow. I feel better having talked with you today, but we still have more talking to do. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.